Okay, let's go ahead and get started. So last week, we had two sections left. We talked about sound in speech, and then we said the importance of sound in speech. There was 4 points. Sound speech is true, and we talked about that. We said sound speech is tested. And then now we talked about testing your speech with your parents, testing your speech with others. And then our third point is that sound speech is tonic, T-O-N-I-C, okay? So we're back to our text that we're wrapping up the last section of that text, which was Titus 2:6. Likewise, urge the younger men to be sensible in all things. Show yourself to be a model of good works with purity and doctrine, dignified. And then the one we're touching on is sound in word, which is irreproachable, okay? So be sound in speech. So why? So that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Okay? So that's why we're called to do this. And it's not about us, it's about who?
Christ.
Christ, that's right. Glorifying Christ and all that we and word, thought, and deed, right? And so okay. So now we're at the third point is. To be sound, to have sound speech is tonic. Okay, so Christian men are to be speaking in a way that brings healing. Okay, do we speak that way or does it bring corruption? Okay, Paul tells Titus that his speech must be sound. He tells him that in chapter 3. Okay, the word he used there means healthful. Okay, it means bring healing or making one whole and complete. Okay. It is the same word in the Greek that we use in the English word for hygiene, okay? This word describes that which is clean, good, and whole. Can I get somebody to pull up Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29? Another one, Colossians 4, 6. Then another one, Luke 4, 22. And let's go with Ephesians 4, 29 first. All right, Ephesians 4:29. Anybody have it? You got it, Chad, back there? No? Okay, I'll got you on Colossians. Go ahead, Colossians then.
Your speech should always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person.
Okay, so it should also, yes. That was Colossians 4:6. Yep. So our speech should be pleasant, right? Always pleasant. All right, Ephesians 4:29.
I got that.
You got that one, boss? All right.
Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer.
Yeah. So let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Okay, so do our words build up and benefit other believers, or are they toxic? Okay. I mean, you can talk about what we say, you know, how we say, jokes we laugh at, jokes we say, even saying things like taking the Lord's name in vain, right? You may not even know you're doing it. Like, what are some of the most common ways that people do it? You're not going to say it, huh?
Exasperation or
yeah.
Astonishment, they might say.
Yeah, exactly. OMG, right? Sometimes I hear people say like Jesus passively, right? Just as a word, right? And so yeah, so those are you know, if we ever did a study and slowed down on taking the Lord's name in vain, I think we'd all be shocked that we probably got a lot of cleaning up to do, right? And so things like that as well.
Becky brought one to my attention.
Uh-oh. Good job, buddy. What's that? Oh, bloody?
English and Australian.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Bloody this, bloody
that. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. See, I would have never taken it there. Good job, Becky. Okay. I say that every now and then, too. But not like that, though. Okay, all right. So, yeah. So, again, there's those words out there, right, that we may use or say that we're kind of passive with, but in all reality, they're not edifying to God. So they don't reflect Christ-likeness, right? Okay, another one is, who has Luke 4:22? You got that one? Go ahead, boss.
So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son?
Yeah, so they were marveled at his gracious words, right? So Jesus in all things is our model. Okay, for tonic, what does tonic mean? One that invigorates, restores, refreshes, or stimulates, right? You know, if you ever say, here, take this tonic, right? Like it's sometimes a handful of pills or teas or something. Yeah, it'll help you out. That's not a common word we use, but, you know, trying to find four teas for this, that was the best.
Essential oil.
Essential oil, yeah. Let me send you my webpage so you can, I'm just kidding. I don't sell essential oils. Not no more, yeah. Okay, so yes, all right. So how you talk to people, how you comment to people will unveil what's in your heart. As was said earlier, what was that? Cheryl, the tongue is what? The dipstick of the heart, right? Absolutely. If your heart is full of compassion, then your conversations will manifest love. If your heart is not full of it, then it's going to manifest other things. Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Okay, one commentator says that your tongue is either a samurai sword that brings destruction or a doctor's scalpel that brings healing. I thought that was really good. So, a samurai sword or a doctor's scalpel. Okay. Proverbs 12:18b says but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Okay. So our words can be tonic by mastering three simple phrases. What are some phrases you could say that would bring healing? Go.
God bless you.
God bless you. Okay. What else? God bless you. You got instant healing.
You're really acting out what you're teaching.
Yeah, there you go. Application. Thank you, Barry. And that was all by God's sovereignty. We didn't plan that. Okay. What about I love you? Stephen, I love you. Okay. Raul, that's okay. I forgive you. Oh, man. And then my wife, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Oh. Right? What else? Any others? Those are about the top three, right?
Pull out of your own arsenal.
Yeah, pull out my own. Yeah. That's my list right there. But yes, you know, so we can say words that heal. And we will represent Christ more. We'll be more like him when we can forgive each other. Okay? We're more like Christ when we forgive. Okay? So I'm sorry. Please forgive me. That's okay. I forgive you. I love you. You know, all these things. I know that's hard for some of us to say I love you. And even maybe just give a hug. Okay? I know I wasn't raised that way. My wife's family is real touchy, huggy. But us, we're like, nah, we're good. We're good. Just pat me on the back maybe and we're all right. So gracious words need to be shared often. Young men need to work hard at cultivating kindness in speech. This may not seem cool, right? But it is Christ-like, okay? All right? So whether it is through sincere compliments, public praise, surprise phone calls, or notes of encouragement that affirm the unique giftedness and potential of others, start using your tongue the way God intended it, okay? We were created, our full body was created to what? To glorify God, right? Man was created to glorify God, right? That's the basic catechism of the Westminster Catechism, okay? That's the number one question there. Julia, I think I've heard you answer, why does man exist? You say it a little bit different, but it's the same thing.
To glorify God and enjoy him forever.
There you go, that's right.
And the chief end of man.
The chief end of man, yep. Mm-hmm. So yes. But yes, that's good. Okay, so your words should reflect Christ's attribute of kindness and not the devil's destructive ways of gossip, criticism, complaints, or lies. Okay? All right. So sound speech is tactical. That's the fourth one, tactical. Okay? Our speech is our primary tactic to win souls for Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, this isn't like the Columbo tactic. Have you guys heard of that? It's like different ways to debate and stuff. Have you heard of Columbo tactic? No? Oh, man. That's probably old school. It probably doesn't work no more, but... Yeah, it's almost like you take something and you turn it back on them, and it was pretty cool, but it was something back then when I was a young Christian.
I mean, they do that, but I've never heard it.
The tactic, yeah, check it out, the Columbo tactic. I don't know if it's a K or a C.
Greg Kokel?
Is that who that is?
I think
yeah, I heard Hank Kanegraaff talking about it many years ago on the radio, and he was promoting it, so, but yeah. But yeah, anyways, that's not what we're talking about here. Oh, something recent?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't heard the recent one, though.
Yeah, it's called Tactics or something. It's apologetics.
Okay, cool. Yeah, check it out then.
I've heard that more referred to as, like, flipping the script.
Maybe. That's the layman's way, but there's a scientific way to say everything. Columbo is a little bit more like, yeah, you know. I feel guilty when you say it the other way. But, yeah, I don't really do it much, or maybe I do and don't realize it, but it's not on purpose. So let's go to Titus 2:8. Well, I've read that to y'all this morning already. So let's take a look at Titus 2:8, right? So that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us, okay? So if you are one who speaks in truth, has been tested by the world, and speaks good, then you have a good tactic to share Christ. If you don't speak well and you want to talk about Christ, people are probably going to be closed-minded to you, okay? Your speech is to be above reproach without blame so that the false teacher or secular leader will have nothing bad to say about you, okay? I know Clarissa one time confronted one of her teachers about something in the class, and so she went after her and talked to him about it, and I think it was evolution or it was religion, I think, maybe. Recently, was it religion? Well, anyways, he had nothing bad to say, but he was like, why are you, what did you say?
He was saying, like, all religions are the same.
Oh, yeah. I think. But you challenged him on it, but what do you keep telling him? Why are you getting mad? Or what?
Yeah, I never like talked to a teacher like that. I was nervous. And then he was like, well, you don't have to get mad.
Yeah,
you don't have to get mad.
Like, but he had nothing else to say about you, but just, hey, he just saw your passion, right? So there should be no evidence to convict you for any fault. Okay, if a godly man has put on trial his words, there should be no legitimate accusation against him. Okay. Remember, as Christians, your words are always on trial, no matter what, whether you like it or not. As soon as you claim to be a Christian, you're on trial, and the world is watching. And the more you say it, the more they're going to be like, ah, he says what he says, but, eh. Right? So again, or her, right? Doesn't matter. We're talking about young men here, but it's for all Christians. Let me see. There should be no evidence to convict you for any fault. If a godly man, okay, puts put on trial his words, there should be no legitimate accusations against him. Young men should not be complainers. Philippians chapter 2 says to do all things without grumbling and disputing. Okay, Philippians chapter 2. Complaining will never contribute anything to being a light of the world. Okay, if you complain, you are acting no different than those without Christ. Ooh, that's hard. Okay, so I'm going to try not to complain anymore and be very grateful about everything. Okay, to complain is a direct insult to God. In verse 13 of Philippians chapter 2, that's what it says. Okay, so can somebody read it? Philippians chapter 2, verse 13.
For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure.
Ah, okay, so to plan. So God is, huh?
14, do all things without grumbling or disputing.
There you go.
That you may be blameless and
innocent. Oh, there you go. Blameless again. There's another, right? So to complain is a direct insult to God, according to those passages. Okay, so when we complain, we're insulting the full sovereign God who controls all things, even our own lives. People around you will want Christ if you begin to practice sound speech, or at least it will have them, or have they'll have nothing bad to say about you, okay? So we should share the truth, share the gospel, tell people about Christ, and do not give them any reason to reject Christ. Remember, people are listening to what you say, so will they find your speech to be true, tested, tonic, and an effective tactic for sharing the gospel, right? So it should be effective if you're speaking God's goodness, okay? So even your body language. I remember one time we were in Toronto, Canada. I was getting frustrated with this guy because we had a plan to go down these roads and start passing out tracts. And he went down this road, and he was being lazy. He only did one side, and I saw him. So when I got done, he's like, oh, I already did this tree. I said, well, I'm going to do this side. He's like, I saw that y'all didn't do that one. And he started, like, arguing and debating with me. And then I kind of like, oh, I said, oh, man. And I guess I showed it outwardly, and he called me out on it in front of everybody. And so he's like, oh, man, you should have seen your body language. And I'm like, ugh. Okay, look, I'm sorry, but let's go get this side. I shouldn't have done that. But even your body language speaks, right? So, yeah. Okay, so now let's go to point nine. So the next one is, well, we're pretty much done with the men right there, okay? We're done with the men. And then we have two more studies for the females. And so we're going to go to this last one in men, though. So again, I'm going to call this one the hope for the future. Proverbs 20:29 says, the honor of young men is their strength, and the majesty of old men is their gray hair. Okay, we've used that. So I'm starting to get to the old men side because my hair is barely starting to turn gray. So, okay. What's that?
You look like a silver fox suit.
That'd be nice. I don't mind gray hairs. Not yet, anyways. So I might later on. Huh? Oh, Maya's dog here? Okay, sorry. Well, let's move on. Your speech, Clarissa. No, excuse me. Oh, that's what Layla said? Okay. Let's move forward. Okay, so we have now wrapped up Titus for the men, and it's interesting how Paul mentions the older first, right, men? Remember we studied this? He talks about the older men first. Then he talks about what men? The younger men, okay? The young men are given godly examples so that they can focus or maybe be better around these men, right? So God has, in a sense, given these older men as examples to the younger men. And men, so we need to understand this high responsibility. As an older man, we're supposed to be the examples to the younger. And that's how the system keeps going. One day we'll die off, the young men will be the older men, and we'll keep going and moving forward, okay? So men, your task is to glorify God in all that you do, okay? A commitment to God. We must have a commitment to God's design, men. Okay, so first, man, you must be committed to pursuing your role as a man according to God's word. Okay, you are to pursue God's design for men and headship, priorities, and Christ-like character qualities. Okay, you need to lead your homes, your children. Don't be passive. Swap the positions, right? You are to live out your God-given roles, whether it is in singleness, marriage, family, or even in the church, okay? It is God's plan for men to lead their homes and in the church. Remember, you want to be an ambassador, not want to be, but you actually are an ambassador as a Christian. You're an ambassador for Christ, okay? Especially in your God-given roles as husbands, fathers, an employee, an employer, a church leader, any position, you're an ambassador. So just because you're at work doesn't mean you can act different at work than you do on Sunday mornings. Okay, we've talked about this. You need to be the same all the time. It is not your environment who determines who you are. It is who is inside you that determines who you are. Okay, you are to find also good biblical men and model yourself after them. Okay, they're hard to find, but they're out there. So find some good men and model yourself out there. And then maybe we can break that chain. Maybe there will be more in the future. Okay? All right, so we must have a commitment, young men, to growing in maturity. Let's look at 1 John. Let's just go to our Bibles. Look at 1 John chapter 2. We'll look at verses 12 through 14. You got them? Yeah, go ahead and read them then.
But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct.
Hold on. 1 John chapter 2?
That's Jude.
That's Jude? Yeah. Was it?
Sorry.
Let's go there. Whoa, the animal's a little true. Okay, so where's he going with this?
Yeah. Not too much.
We're reading context.
1 John chapter 2, 12 through 14.
I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you have known him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one.
Okay, so these principles apply to everybody, but who's accountable at the end of the day? Men or women? Men. Men are accountable to God for the leadership. What's that? I won't ask you to repeat because Becky gave you the... She gave you a right hook. So. Whenever you post this, like bring that out and then bring it back down. So young men should strive to mature, okay? There should be a desire to grow, to mature. Ladies, don't date a man who's satisfied in drinking milk all his life. You need to see, you need to find a young man who wants to grow and mature in Christ, okay? He's seeking for meat. If he's chewing meatloaf and he's trying to get to a steak, that's okay. That's good. But if he's on milk, no, that's a problem. Meatloaf, yeah. I like meatloaf. But it's, huh? I need meat. Oh, yeah, I know, yeah. I'm not saying that. Well, never mind. Yeah, you got me. Okay. Okay, so men who love God should desire to know God more intimately, okay? Young men who desire to be impactful for Christ should grow to be more like Christ, okay? There should always be sanctification in your life, growth, and progress in becoming like Christ. Guys, if there's no growth in your life, there's no progress, evaluate yourself. Figure out what's going on, okay? Why don't you have a desire to seek Christ? Is there something going on? Or maybe you may not be a believer and you think you are, right? Who knows? But evaluate yourself. Christ says, if you are my true disciple, you will continue in my word, right? So, to grow in spiritual maturity requires a life dependence upon the Holy Spirit as they seek to follow only the word of God day by day, okay? So we should trust in who? The Holy Spirit. And so, be filled with the Spirit, what must we do? Study God's word, right? And absorb it. Saturate your mind, your heart, your soul into it. It's Colossians. So by studying, meditating, memorizing, and sharing from God's word. So anytime you learn something, go share it with somebody, okay? It'll help you retain it. And so I know, again, I enjoy doing that. When I study or learn something new, I'll share it, okay? Or at least try to. Well, it's easier for me because I can learn something and then a few days later I can teach it to you guys, right? But I don't always have this audience. And then the context sometimes is different too. And with the door closed at work or at home, you know, sometimes you get to share, you get to exercise the application of God's word. Okay, so additional actions include prayer, fellowship, involvement in the church, okay, service and ministry, assisting during trials, proclaiming the gospel and discipleship, and fleeing the flesh while pursuing Christ-like qualities. Okay, these are all other things that we can do too to be active, right? The application of God's word, you know, the meditating, memorizing, and sharing, and then be in prayer, fellowship, involvement in the church, service and ministry, and all these things, okay? There should be no greater incentive for pursuing spiritual maturity than remembering what Christ has done for us and being grateful for it, okay? Be grateful for what Christ has done for you, no matter what the conditions are. Again, Paul was chained up to some Roman soldiers when he wrote, the book of Philippians, okay? Christ was on the cross when he said, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. The apostle John was boiled, okay? Peter was hung upside down. So again, be thankful that that wasn't you. But remember, no believer will perfectly ever live up to the truths that are in God's word, but every Christian man can know that God has chosen him by his grace to become like his son. So don't use it as an excuse, because God has chosen you to be like his son, right? And that process of sanctification will continue all the way until you get to heaven, okay? So there's no excuse that, this is just who I am. No, no, no. If If you're stuck in that, then you probably need more to read and study God's word more. Your heart should be softened and softened and softened, and your hate for sin should increase, 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 and increase as you do this. If you don't find yourself hating your sin more and more, then you're probably not studying, okay? And also remember, it is God who is at work in you, both to will and both to work for his good pleasure, what Raul read earlier, okay? So from start to finish, God deserves what? All the what? All the glory from the beginning to the end, okay? All right, so then the next one here, young men, we should have a commitment to discipleship. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep all that I command you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Discipleship is best defined as intentional relationships for the purpose of coming to Christ and becoming like Christ. Okay, so discipleship is to bring people to Christ and to help them grow into Christ likeness. Okay, and the Great Commission, the main verb. What's the main verb there? Do y'all know? Make. Theologian. He didn't fail me. So the main verb is to make, right? Make disciples. And then it's followed by three participles. Which are those? Going, baptizing, and teaching. Okay? So go, baptize, and teach. Okay, these are all plural words, which means we can disciple in groups and not just one-on-one. Okay? But no matter how many people we're discipling, it should always be expressed in intentional, purposeful relationships, okay? Always intentional, okay? Don't just do it because, I got to go disciple, you know, because this is I'm a Christian, so I got to go. And I mean, that's unacceptable. But I don't know if anybody's ever done that I know. More than likely, they're going to find a reason to get out of it. So the first participle, going, describes discipleship as a relationship commitment to evangelizing as you walk through life as a believer. You're evangelizing as you walk through life. Okay, that's the most, in my mind, one of the strongest and most important evangelism is the way you live your life. I push hard on this subject here. Or this participle, if you want to call it that, living that way. The second participle, baptizing, describes discipleship as relationally identifying with Christ and immersion into his body, which is the church, okay? And then the last participle, teaching them to obey, describes discipleship as a relational process of helping one another to learn and obey God's word in every aspect of life, okay? So when somebody corrects you, when somebody tells you here's a more better way, that's designed in discipleship. Don't get upset. I was hearing somebody say recently that they got called out and maybe they were upset, and so they disconnected themselves rather than saying, okay, you know what, you were right, you quoted God's word to me, and I know God's word says this, but I'm going to go a different direction, okay? That's not what Christians do. Or run away because of some type of debacle, right? We've got to make things right and move forward. So the ultimate goal is not to just have people come to Christ, but also to immerse themselves in a church body while identifying with Christ alone as their Lord, and to become followers of Christ who live every aspect of their lives under the authority of God's word, including making disciples themselves. Okay, you need to be desiring to make disciples, okay? Discipleship is the Lord's plan to transform the world, the church, you, everything until the day that he comes, okay? Disciple is essential to the individual Christian and the mission of every local church as well, okay? We should seek to be mentored by godly men, or better yet, a group of godly men, okay? I like that. A young single or married man who has been discipled and has learned, this is real cool, check it out, let me go back. A young single or married man who has been discipled and has learned to make disciples is better prepared for raising children. A young godly man who can disciple others is a man who can parent his children. I thought that was really cool. Okay? If you want a woman who can help raise your children, then find a woman who has discipled other women. Okay? So I think there's a lot of truth in that. Sometimes I've seen where you set your family aside and you focus strictly on that, but I think there's some nuggets there to take on. Okay, one more commitment here is a commitment to church, young men. The Bible commands all believers, turn to Hebrews 10:24. This is real important for everybody. This is the debate me and my mentor had all the time because he didn't want to go to church. So then I got brave enough one day to call him out and I got wild. I was real passionate about it. So the Bible commands all believers to faithfully attend church, Hebrews 10:24 and 25. Somebody read that, please.
And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Okay, so the assembling together, right? As a habit, as is the habit of some, right? But encouraging one another. So the church by nature is a gathering of believers. You cannot have an assembly of Christians unless you actually assemble. This was the whole COVID debate. And notice that even in this command to faithfully gather, there is more intended than mere attendance. We are to love one another and stimulate one another, or stir up, as Raoul's translation said, one another to good works. The church is more than a business. It's a body. It is more than gathering. It's ministering your gifts. It is more than spectating. It's participating. Okay? As each member of the church functions according to God's word, we will become more like Christ. Go to Ephesians 4:16. If you have it, read it. Ephesians 4:16. So each member of the church functions according to God's will. We will be more like, go ahead.
From whom the whole body being joined and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the properly measured working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love.
So according to the properly measured work of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So in this verse, Paul makes it clear that your growth in Christ is inseparably linked to your part two, our participation in a healthy local church. Okay? Instead of being independent, young men are to be dependent upon a local church family. Okay? And man, I've moved four times in my life. And I tell you what, we were talking about this last night. The church family has always, always been there for us. When in our family, you know, blood family, they have too, but not like the church family. And I cannot tell you the value of the church family. So let's see. Our obligation to be interconnected. I'll give you some quick points on this one. Oh, there's one more commitment. Okay, so we need to have an obligation to be interconnected. These one another's. We're going to study these next. After we're done with this, we're going to go over 31 one another's. And those are talked about how we're supposed to interact with Christians in the body. The one another's express our obligation to be interconnected with each other. Also, every believer is given unique gifts of the Holy Spirit and can only be expressed in the church and help serve in the body of Christ. You can see this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It says, as each one has received a gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The church is a good place for young men to mature and to be a servant as Christ said we are to be. He said that in Matthew 23 and 22. Let's see, do I need to, no, I can skip that. Okay, young men, we need to have a commitment to the gospel, okay? Where young men needs to have the hope of one day becoming an exemplary older man. He must also commit himself to proclaiming the gospel to the lost people and seek to live worthy of it. Men, live worthy of the gospel. Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, redeeming the time. Let your words always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should answer each person. Isn't it amazing to take a fresh steak, you put just some salt and pepper and you eat it, it's so amazing, right? And it's a sweet aroma to us, at least to me. And that's what Colossians is saying here about us. That's how we should be to the world, right? So the reason all believers are still on this earth, now this is really cool. The reason why we're still here on this earth, right, and don't go directly to heaven when we get saved, is because our jobs are still to proclaim the gospel to all those on earth that can hear it, right? Because if not, then we should just go straight to heaven at salvation. But our goal is to continue. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you should be teaching the gospel in some manner or form by living it, helping out with ministry, going out and having discipleship, something, okay? All right, our mission on earth is to proclaim the message of the gospel. Only those young godly men who learn to share the gospel and adorn it by their lives will be used greatly of God, fulfilling their purpose and functioning the way God designed. All right, so here's the last verse, and I'm done. I'm just going to read this verse. It's Ephesians 3:20, okay? This is the hope for the future. Young men, write this down. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all what we ask or understand, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Okay? All right, we're going to close there. Any thoughts, any questions? Sorry I rushed to that, but I wanted to get through it. If you want my notes, let me know and I'll send them over to you. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I have two comments.
Yeah, go ahead, boss.
You mentioned earlier on your environment, right?
Yeah.
So I think it just depends, right? Like if you're at work, you can't get out of your environment. Mm-hmm. That's different, right? But in 1 Corinthians, it mentions about bad company corrupting good morals.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's another one.
It says, do not be deceived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we should be mindful of that, right? Just
yeah.
You know, make sure that...
you can be tempted, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So I think the key word in is the deceived. So you are here in this state, but you can be tricked to go this way. So don't be, right? So your environment, yes, is corruptive, but that doesn't mean you have to adjust to it unless you're tempted by it, right? Yeah, absolutely. And at work, yes, you're right. You can be influenced, and you can get tempted to fall into temptation, to get along with the crowd, to have more friends, whatever, you know, you're desiring in your heart. But you should seek those relationships in the church, okay? If you're not seeking those relationships in the church, then there's a problem. You need to be, right? And men, women, we need to be offering ourselves in these ways. Don't just wait for somebody to knock on your door. Go knock on somebody's door. You never know. There may be somebody looking for somebody, okay? And so remember that.
All right. Thank you. Anything else?
Call somebody out, right, just make sure that we do it in gentleness, right, because the whole goal is for restoration.
Yes.
And we want to make sure that we fulfill the law of Christ, right, which is in love.
Yes, in love, right. And is there a motto in the Bible that tells us how to approach people? You remember what chapter, what book?
Galatians 6.
Oh, yeah, that one is telling us to... Well, that one's helping to correct it, right? To help actually walk them through that scenario. But Matthew chapter 18, right? The discipline. He says pretty much what it's telling us in Matthew 18 is you go talk to somebody, right? If they continue in their sin, you take somebody with you, and you go talk to them, and then after that you take them, you bring it to the leadership. And the church is the elders, right? And at work, I use it at work, but then you take it to the boss, right? So it's usually, I always tell guys, they got a problem with somebody? Have you talked to them? No. And now they know. Okay, I've already talked to so-and-so. Here's this. And then they'll know. And usually 90% of the time, would you say, Raul, that it fixes itself the first time they go talk? And probably even more like 98% of the time, right? There's always a slight misunderstanding. So, okay, good. Those are good points. Anybody else have any good points or anything that not good, but anything they want to add to this? No? Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Raul, you don't mind closing us out?
Yeah.
All right.
Heavenly Father, just thanks again for allowing us to come together, Lord, and to have fellowship, to study in your word. Appreciate Ray and the preparation that it takes for him to get ready, Lord, and for him to make the notes and all the research. Just very much appreciate it. Lord, just help us not just be hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. and just help us maintain ourselves walking in the Spirit, Lord. And just I just pray for everybody that that might have a need, Lord, just to make a request known to you, Lord, and that you continue to draw us near to you, Lord. And Lord, I praise you again for just the many resources that we have. You know, we have a lot of resources, and there really is no excuse, Lord. And just want to give you thanks for everything that's available, all the technology, Lord, and just to get deeper into your word. And I just praise you for, again, for everything that you have done, for your sacrifice on the cross, and for your grace and your mercy, Lord. And it is in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys.